Here,
you can't put me on the spot like that. I don't know what to say when you put me on the spot.
Oh, this is another fantastic beginning to our show. Welcome. It's Monday.
And you know what I just noticed? I can see on the top left corner, it says recording. I don't know if that's a new thing or not, but I'll make sure to always be on the lookout.
Always be on the lookout. Thank you.
So we're recording.
We are Dad So Hard. Cue music. And we're back, and we're back. Hey, everybody. I'm Vinny Dunleavy.
Danny McCartney. I also have a
little... Danny, who are we?
We're the Dad So Hard podcast. we're dads. We have kids. We basically just teach the world how to become better dads.
In our
tell funny stories that we think are funny.
For anybody who is joining us for the first time, in that intro with Danny... failed.
I'm not the intro guy normally.
You didn't even admit that you knew me. You didn't even say we're friends. We're former coworkers.
I kept saying we. Well, that's because that's what you say. That's how you do the intro. I do the intro my own way.
I think you want to deny me. You're denying an acknowledgement of knowing me.
I said we, and you're in the video if you're watching the video.
Okay. Well, if you're watching us on YouTube at Dad So Hard Podcast.
If you're listening... then you hear us both.
Then you're hearing us. And we are, and this
if
is,
you're
and this
following
is
us on social media or wondering where you can, that would be on Instagram and Facebook at Dad So Hard Podcast, Twitter at Dad So Hard Pod, email, which isn't social media, but you can email us, dadsohardpodcast@gmail.com. We also have a website. We are dadsohard.com.
And I would like to give one public safety announcement on this podcast. I am... holding a mic, and I have been coughing.
Oh, and, coronavirus.
And I'm just saying, if you're listening to this through your ears, you will not get coronavirus through a podcast. This is the safest media.
Right? I made a coronavirus comment on a mass email that I sent out on Friday.
That could be too soon.
That's email.
That's real early.
It was literally the day that someone in Queens was... It was tough. I wrote a big email and said, "Happy Friday, everyone." Blah 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 blah.
Enjoy. Don't get corona.
No, it was like here's some light reading for you. Don't worry, it's nothing about the coronavirus. Or like here's a nice escape from the coronavirus, something like that. No one responded.
Enjoy your weekend. Drink a Corona, just not the coronavirus.
You know what's so funny? How stupid everyone is. Corona is like tanking right now.
It's terrible. It's doing terrible. They changed the name of the virus to COVID-19.
They had to.
In order to protect brands like Corona.
Isn't that funny?
It's insane. Well, I don't think I have the coronavirus. Do I think I have heart disease right now? It is potential. God,
I wish the people listening to the podcast could hear me rolling my eyes.
They can see it. But I will tell you, I watched a news story over the weekend that was about heart disease. And they gave the symptoms of like your arm hurting. My arm's not hurting. However, shortness of breath, not having like sort of a signs of a cold that won't go away, a cough, some postnasal drip. I've had a couple months where I've not been able to shake this cough and cold I've had. I could legitimately have, I could be having a heart attack.
For a couple months? I think it's just called getting old and fat.
That's possible, but I'm just saying if something happens to me in the next 2 months, I'm predicting everybody that it could be hard.
Coronavirus. You just put up a hell of a fight.
Or it's going to take
me. I might have mono.
Maybe that's... Well, I got tested for strep throat twice, and it was negative, and then they had to send it away to a lab. they sent it to the... to a camp.
Boys and Girls Club of America to check out.
And then it came back positive, and then I got antibiotics. And then my son got it twice. He got strep, and then I got strep again.
That sucks. We've been going back and forth with the flu at our house. Everyone's been getting the flu.
Well, now there's going to be a lot of flu. Is it flu or is it corona? Because now this is flu season.
Yeah.
So be careful out there, everybody. Purell, Although I read, I can't say I read, somebody who I cannot disclose told me something about Purell today, which is they say that it like prevents flu in their advertising. And if you Google them, they've lost some advertising claims because technically they really don't prevent it fully, but they claim they do.
Purell is like a false sense of security.
Correct. So, but my the office, listen, it's like a
Dial soap. Now that's something else.
Dial soap? You use Dial soap?
Oh,
my
yeah.
My wife likes Dial. I think Dial's very 1982 in the soap.
It is, yeah. But hey, if it's good enough to clean the oil off of a duck.
Me. Listen, I can't fight you on that. And they have a good, I don't remember their jingle. I don't think I've seen a Dial ad in a while.
You don't have to.
You know, I mean, it's Dial soap. It's my, it's the number
Hospitals
one.
Recommend it.
That's true.
Good for me.
Keeps you clean. So listen, it is the first week of March.
First
spring,
week of March.
Spring is in the sprung. Air.
I don't know if spring has sprung yet, but we're getting there.
Well, listen, it's coming in with a bang with the coronavirus. So
yeah, big news coming from the Dad So Hard camp. We're big time now. Half of us, meaning Vinny, went to the Dad 2.0 summit that was held in Washington, D.C. this past weekend. And, you know, he made an impression. He learned a lot of things. Man. And why don't you give us the elevator pitch on what it was like there?
Listen, I met a lot of new friends. And to all of them listening, because I know every one of these guys, we're going to tag them all when we post this thing. But hello. From us to you, and thank you guys. So we went, Danny, I want to congratulate you on actually saying the name of the summit correctly, because I
kept calling pronouncing it Dad 2 Summit.
I kept calling the Dad 2 Blogger Conference.
That's because the website is dad2.com. Like it, and I get it. You can't do dad2.0.com. Like you can't have two dots in it, but think of a different name when like you... You created, well,
correct. It was like Dad 2.0, and then I was like...
You created the thing in 2015. You like websites are a thing. You know you have to create a website. Anyone that creates a company or an event needs to create said company or event with a website in mind.
Correct. So even though we're criticizing them, we love them.
Yes, we're going to edit this part out.
No, you guys were the best, but it was great. No, this guy Doug French, one of the founders and runners of it. It's amazing. They've been around for, I did not know this, about 9 to 10 years.
Oh, I thought it was 5.
No, 9 to 10. And one of the things that they're really focused on doing, which I thought was an interesting angle on this for all you guys out there, was or soon to be dads or wives or sisters or brothers or friends of men, is that they're there to market fatherhood to men. And in the one standpoint, you're like, why would somebody have to market fatherhood to men? That is a question that I thought of in the beginning of the day. It was like, that's weird. And then you hear these stories of a lot of men out there who grew up with no fathers, or fathers that were not around, or fathers who were, or dads who were terrible fathers. And if you grow up in an environment where you either don't have a male role model or you don't have a father, and then all of a sudden you have a family, or you have a wife who wants to get pregnant, you want to get pregnant, you want to start your own family, and you get pregnant, it could be very terrifying for that man to then go, holy shit, I'm going to be a dad, and I don't have anything to draw from to become a father.
Right.
And I thought to myself,
source material.
Correct. And that, to me, when I think about, Danny, why we do this, and people always ask us, I feel like they ask both of us, why are you doing it? Is it for the money? And I go, yes, because this thing's bringing in cash.
not for the money.
It's really for the fame, because I have autographs.
Cash into this thing.
Cash. One day. Do we do it for the autographs when people stop me and they want a picture with me?
I have been practicing my autograph.
Listen, that's another reason why we do it. But I say the most important reason why we do it is because we want to help other guys out there who are scared, nervous, or don't know what the fuck they're getting into if they get married and have a baby, realize it's not terrifying to become a father, and it's not going to change your life.
Well,
it doesn't have to change your life drastically.
Yeah. Well said. Well said.
Because in our world, I said to everybody, you know, we are about work hard, play hard, dad harder. And this idea that you don't have to give up. You could still do it. You can have it all. It's different. Now, it's not easy. It is difficult, as we both know. That was sort of what the theme of the conference was. And one of the things that what I learned, Danny, that we are called, is that we are dad influencers. And we share dad influence. So anybody listening, if you actually are part of our community and you take any of the advice that Danny and I put out there and you listen to anything that we're saying, you're giving us influence over you. And that makes us, you know, valuable.
To Come on, members. Real deep.
Real deep. So thank you. Thank you. But there were so many things. This fascinating guy, at Ben Kilroy, he spoke. There was bloggers. These guys were writers. And one guy wrote about legacy and this idea that, like, legacy matters. Do you ever think about this with your kids?
I don't know what that means.
Like,
oh, like my legacy?
Correct. Like you're like the way you are fathering, it will be potentially replicated by your sons and if you have sons and your kids.
I haven't really thought about that.
Yeah. This is actually not, this I wasn't a blogger. This is from, he was one of the advertisers from responsibility.org.
Sounds like a Planned Parenthood thing.
No. What they talked about was, they used to talk about like people don't want to drink and drive and all this stuff. But what they really want to focus on is responsible choices in drinking. So that you want to be able to be, it doesn't mean you can't go out and drink or you can't go out to a friend's house and drink, but it's about that. It's about taking responsible choices, responsible consumption. And what does it mean to be responsible? And I like, this is actually something that our kids are very young and they're not drinking yet. However, if you have a middle school kid, this idea that when you start talking to your kid about making responsible choices. Now, when you're young, it could be about bad foods, brushing your teeth, not brushing your teeth.
Right.
But as they get older, you make the conversation more sophisticated for the age. And that they can get used to then and have an expectation that you will have to make choices. All I want you to do is make the more responsible choice of the two. So I thought that was good. It did make me feel very much early in the morning, though, like when I think about my own drinking. I was like, well, I don't make a lot of responsible choices when I drink. Oopsie.
Who does?
I know. And then the guy talked about one day he was drinking too much and his son went to school. I know he was like, the kid came home from school, drew a picture. And the teacher's like, the dad was like, oh, what's that a picture of me holding? He's like, that's you holding a beer glass. And it was like,
oh, geez.
Kid drew a picture of me like being drunk. I was like, So he was like, I got that wake up call early. I'm like, is that a wake up call or is that just a reminder?
I was like, news on that one.
So that was the little bit of that. That was one of the advertisers. The other thing then we switched to was, are you an opera fan, Danny?
Are you fucking high?
That's what I thought. Neither was I. However, I got to meet who I would like to call the LeBron James of the opera world.
Pavarotti?
No, his name was Kenneth Kellogg. This guy was 7'5". His voice was deeper. I mean, it was like, hey, nice to meet you. Huge. This guy was like, he looked like he was LeBron James.
7'5"?
Yeah, he was ginormous.
7'5".
Yes, Google him. Google if you're on your phone. Kenneth Kellogg. He was super tall. Really nice. African-American dude who sings opera, phenomenal. But he told his story, which is one that I was fascinated by it because I think it's hard to relate to as two white guys, but they're in the community of African-American father or African-American guys growing up where you may or may not have had a father or a father figure. He talked about the moment where his wife, they finally have kids and the wife comes out with the pee stick and it's like overjoyed that she was pregnant. And when he looked at her, he had to struggle to match her enthusiasm over becoming a father because he was terrified inside because of the fact that he did not have the right role models and was concerned about the father he was going to be. And that was a real shift for me to recognize that, like, not everybody, we all bring different things to this game. And you have to understand that that's a big part of it. And for women that out there, anybody who's listening as a woman, if you were married to a guy and Like, you don't know the baggage that he's bringing. And I thought it was just remarkable to see these guys up there. It was like one guy after another being very brave, sharing their stories and talking about their lives as dads and the challenges that they have, which not everybody likes to do, but to recognize that you're not alone in it. And he brought up, like, and this is what I realized. If you think about it, he was my age, probably 45. He talked about the history, and we've talked a little bit about that's like shitty dads in media. Mm-hmm. He was like, I grew up with like no real father in my house. Then I think about how to turn to television and media for role models. So I watched TV in the 80s and 90s. The number one show on TV is Married with Children. Ooh. You have a guy.
Not a good dad role model.
No, he's married. He's his wife is super hot.
Hates his wife, hates his kids.
Hates his daughter. I mean, it was like crazy.
Great show.
Then he's like, and then after that, I watch The Simpsons. Then you have Homer Simpson.
Deadbeat.
A doofus.
That lazy.
He's like, and then more recently, I had Bill Cosby. And we all know how that turned out.
Well.
Bill Cosby was more than.
You just take the TV portion. That's a good role model.
Correct. However, Bill Cosby, for people who looked up to him in the African American, he transcended Huxtable. He was, yes, Bill Cosby.
But when, so, by the time you implemented the role model portion, all that other shit started coming out. Okay, well, you already used the good part of it.
Correct. But now looking back,
served his purpose for you.
He did to some degree, yes, but now there still aren't. So the
point I'm just is, saying you can't use that in that argument.
Correct. So, but it was very interesting. The one thing that I found out, now this is going to be what I'm going to call a ball squeezer moment on this show, Danny.
What?
Oh, yeah.
A ball squeezer moment? I don't even know what that is supposed to be in reference to.
Well, now you're going to know. You're going to know. Because I learned something about opera. Back in the day, there was a time period in opera that is called the era was called the, in Italian, castrati era. And it was called the castrati era. It was an era of, like, if you Google opera history, this is an era.
Like castration, like no balls?
Well, I'm going to get to it. So back in the day in Italy, to be a performer, you were, most men, like women weren't doing anything. So men had to do everything. So when they were putting on operas and young men are growing up, you know, you get classified as a baritone, a tenor, or a soprano. So they needed more and more as you get older, they need people to sing and they need to sing these roles. And they weren't letting women sing. So if you were a boy who was a soprano during this era, what they would do is they would go and they would cut off your balls. So that for the rest of your life, you would still be able to sing like a soprano. And over time, this happened for decades, which then became referred to as the castrati era of opera, because you had all these men singing all these different levels. So that's what I'm calling it.
Does this come up in the Dad 2.0 Summit?
Because what was the point of when he made this one?
Exactly.
Let me turn pages. I think it was because it was all like when men, I don't really know.
No point. But nice tidbit to know. Now we know a little bit more about it.
Fascinating. I don't know how he tied that back to his men. Maybe it was about family. Eventually what we got to was something that I was talking, what I believe was a big part of it, which is making choice. So that a lot of this was, maybe it was because of the word choice. So that these guys didn't have to choose. And a lot of questions come up about work-life balance and what you quest for and what you do and how guys manage it. And this guy's mantra was that, I don't believe there is a balance. I believe it's a choice. So you choose the life you want to live. And he decided to choose only to take jobs that made sense for his family. So instead of taking a job and then going back to his family, he made his family the priority. And so it was always like, how does this job fit into the life? So he sort of looked at, and this came up with a couple of the speakers there where they were talking about, you mm-hmm. look at the lifestyle you want for your family and you go, does this job help me with that lifestyle? Okay. And you make that the overriding decision. And so a lot of it, where there was a lot of discussion around, you choose to be the model of father you want to be. You choose the balance you want in your life. We talk about that. It's a lot of work-life balance. I think we've talked about on the show want to work 30 hours a week and never see your kids, or 300 hours a week and never see your kids.
I was going to say 30 hours a week sounds pretty sweet.
But if you remember that guy, Mark, the guy, not Mark Zuckerberg, who there's a, that was that other guy who wrote an article.
The Evernote guy.
The Evernote guy. He saw his kids five hours a week, maybe.
Yeah.
That was his choice.
Yeah. And he was preaching that he was great dad, great right. work-life balance.
Correct. So Ken, part of Ken's speech was all you have to do is make the choice and everything is possible.
Were you taking notes?
Yeah, I took a lot of notes. Danny, I knew we were going
to... So this wasn't like time off of work.
No, I mean, I was like committed. It was dropping knowledge. What I also loved about this thing was the diversity. So I walked in not knowing what the diversity of people in this crowd and the community. If you are into this podcast or you're looking for other voices because you're just tired of me and Danny, there's a lot of shit out there to listen to.
But also don't stop listening to us.
But I mean, continue to listen to us, but find other people. But a lot of like really diverse. We're talking all ages. Old and young, all races were represented. I was very, very impressed that it wasn't just a group of white guys, which I thought just spoke to fatherhood as a movement in this country. There's so many different aspects to it. And it was like, I was proud to see like, wow, like everybody talks about the lack of diversity in this country. And I was like, not here, Dad 2.0. So we're doing good things. There was a lot of talk
about
not role models. Oh, this was there was one challenge. What was one thing about, it's like, there was talk about like when you have to talk to your kids about adjusting themselves to the rest of the world. And this is something that a lot of African-American dads have to deal with when you have a son and there's a thing in the community where they talk about having the talk when he's a son, because you got to talk about like how the world is going to perceive you and the terrible things about like what you got to do to basically make them feel like they need to adjust their personalities because the world is going to look at them differently. And that part of the conversation should be, why convince somebody to be less than who they are when what we should be doing is focusing on changing the world and ourselves, right? So
I agree with that.
Which I thought was a big, bold statement to make.
Yeah.
And something that like it made me have more sympathy and empathy for African-American fathers that are out there because of the way that they are seen in the world and how to deal with that. And I thought it was something that in our world, I mean, we don't have to deal with that. You may have to deal with your people thinking your kids are in the mob because you're from Staten Island. Although
all the time
that all, I mean, you're going to really have to give the talk
with their last names, McCartney,
the Irish mafia of Staten Island. There were a couple Staten Islanders there as well.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember who they are, though.
Come on.
I didn't write that down. And then I learned about those other meningitis. GSK was there. Please get your kids vaccinated. Ask your doctors about this. They kill a wonderful man. This guy, Greg Williams, was there. His son went to, I think, Texas A&M and died his sophomore year unexpectedly from like meningitis. It's just terrible. It's a terrible story.
Yeah, I know a kid that had it, but he... Oh, back. Hospital, but he wound up living. He was fine.
Correct. You got to get people to get vaccinated. Go to your doctors and make sure
that they don't let you into college unless you have that vaccination.
It changes now. The issue is state to state and school to school. And there's one. The issue is there's five vaccines for meningitis. Most of them legally require four. There's the fifth one. Is not always required, and so some people forget to get it as the secondary boost, and then that fucks you up.
Got it.
Because they talk about the meningitis 5.
Got it.
So that was a big deal. And then part of it, Danny, and this is what I realized, this is when it really started to be like, wow, we are podcasters, and
we've made it.
Because they talk about big responsibility. And being an influencer is that we are talking about fatherhood outside of our own families, which means not only do we share the stories of how we parent, but there may be people out there saying, Vinny and Danny do it. I'm going to do it, which means we are actually affecting the future of America and the world.
Oh, like people are taking our advice and stories and putting it to life.
Correct. So, like, we are actually raising children that are not our own.
A little scary if you think about it.
Correct. And then they may have a legal responsibility to come and call you daddy, knock on your door.
Or a legal responsibility to sue us.
Well, if it goes wrong, or to ask us for money to college, or to help us have them fix their SAT scores because when we told them not to read to bed every night. So there's a lot of different stuff going on. Then it switched to a little more practical stuff. I think search engine optimization, which we're not getting into some of these things. Oh, I know this one. This is good for grocery store shopping. Shout out. I downloaded it. Have not used it yet. Have you heard of the Ibotta app?
The what?
Ibotta app. Ibotta.
Ibotta. No.
So if you're listening to this, tell your wives,
look it up,
tell your wives or download it on your phone. It is the best way to save money grocery shopping. You go to the Ibotta app, you find a product that you like, and it tells you what, so you type in a brand. I started to fall in love with this. I'm giving up white flour for Lent. It's my Lenten sacrifice, carbs that are based on white flour.
Get into the app.
So there's this brand, Cauliflower, which is like cauliflower pizzas. And
what is it, coupons?
Yeah, they're coupons, but you can find the product in your store. So you go in and you find all the food you want. If it's carried in your local Stop and Shop, Kroger, or wherever you shop, and then you instantly get all the coupons. So when you check out, you get all the savings.
I don't really understand, but I just downloaded it, so I'll play around with it later.
So you choose the store, it tells you what products are carried, and it gives you the coupons. So if I wanted to have the specific Talenti ice cream that I like, I can go to Talenti and find the coupon there. So you can just go in there and go, here's the shit I'm buying on my grocery list. Where are the coupons?
Gotcha.
And see what they're carrying in the store.
All right.
Listen, you got to save money these days. Global economy is crashing.
Hell yeah, man.
And then get free stuff. Oh, that was for us, Danny. We're going to start talking about more amusement parks and museums. And me and Danny may start going on trips if people allow us into their places for free.
Oh, was your note get free stuff?
That was my note. It's hard to read. Get free stuff. Because basically, guys, if you listen to this podcast, Danny and I, when we go traveling, are going to contact places and saying, listen, we'll talk about you on the podcast.
I represent that So Hard podcast.
Give me a free meal. It's legit. Like, I didn't realize people were like, no, just call the social media manager and get stuff. So,
how do you find that person?
You go
to AKA, how do I find the Disney World social media manager?
They said you go on their website and you go to LinkedIn and you look up Disney Park social media manager, PR. You go to their PR. You look at a press release and you find the press release and you call the number. And they said, just pick up the phone, get a live human. And they said 9 out of 10 times people throw you something. I said, oh, I'll try it.
And it's not even like I'm lying. Like, cause I was just about to say, do they fact check you? Let them.
We're
a real podcast.
You're just getting a free meal. Say you want a day pass. I want to just talk about an exhibit. You see what happens. What's the worst they can
They'll
say?
They'll never give a day pass.
I would start like Sesame Place, Six Flags Great Adventure, more regional stuff.
I'm going to start with Disney World.
Let's see what's that.
Dream big. Hey, that's their motto.
Manifest it. The one thing, so it was a great time, but I'm going to do one more public service announcement. And this is going to be, there's two ways to prevent a predator getting to your kid on social media.
Jesus.
The first way is do not allow your child on social media.
Okay.
That is going to be rule number one.
Sure.
Rule number one, no Instagram, no Snapchat, no Facebook. Now, even if you institute that rule, the problem is going to be in most junior high schools, they get electronic Chromebooks that have Google Sheets and Google all this. Well, what happens through these software systems? Anybody can hack in and start talking to your kid. And the big thing that these predators are out there is that they just get on, they act like they're their kid's friends, and then they trade for photos, and these mother crazy guys sell them on the dark web. It was disturbing. There's a video that I posted on our...
get to the dark web.
That was not a question. although
they probably would flag you as a potential predator and then usher you right out.
So yeah, I didn't want
to
say,
I was asking about how to get to the dark web. Let's never let him back.
Can you show us how to log on? Let's give an example.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing was
for a friend.
Correct. So they did talk about though how these guys, most of these predators look like they're like they look the woman was speaking. She's like, these predators look like, basically she's like, they look like all of you in the room. They're regular people with regular jobs. I was like, there's probably one person in this room, if not two, which is terrible. But like they look like, so she was telling the story. There's a video going around. I posted this woman's speech on our YouTube page, but it's about a 37-year-old woman going undercover as an 11-year-old on Instagram, and all these fucking lunatic guys are hitting her up for sex and photos, and it's terrible, terrible, terrible. It's not funny. It's terrible. And then like one of the stories, so I met her afterwards and I was talking to her, very lovely, but she was saying it was like psychologically she's still all like working through it all, because at one point she had to have a relationship with like a high school teacher
to be able to get him.
Correct. Because she was acting like she's 15 years old, and there's this high school teacher who's out there teaching high school kids, and he's trying to bang her as a 15-year-old.
Right.
It is like crazy. And the way they do it, and this is where I had no clue about this, is they look for like indiscernible hashtags. So if little girls are like tagging things like unicorn maze, rainbows, Jesus, that's the shit they're searching. So they don't search like hot titties. They search things that little kids are using so they can find the profiles of the little kids. It's totally disturbing. But there's a company, there's a great company out there called Bark Technologies. You're allowed to download the app and then you load your kids' profiles. And what they do is, instead of mirroring the profile, it sets alerts. So like if you are, you can set it for like high or low, but like if there are certain messages going through their account that they think are high risk, that alerts you to it. So it's more sophisticated, because your kid, if you're just trying to ghost what they're doing, they could be deleting shit and you never see it.
Of course.
This scans every one of the messages, because a lot of times what they do is they're blackmailing kids, especially for boys. If you have young boys, like one things they do is they get the boys to give them photos. They sell them on the dark web and then they blackmail the kids. It's so creepy and disgusting. But the big thing we wanted people to know is that law enforcement and these companies are out there. And so these guys are doing it because they think they can get away with it. And here at the Dad So Hard podcast,
so far probably have been.
Well, they have been, but in the Dad So Hard podcast arena, you're not going to get away from it anymore, because we're making the announcement. Danny is going to be dispatched to find you and kill you. So Danny is going to be hired locally.
I'm going to be the Bark Enforcer.
I don't want to say Staten Island over indexes Danny in Predators. However,
I'll find you and kill you.
The other quick tip they said about this, now I don't know if you believe this one, Danny. Where do you think is the safest place for your child to charge their phone at night?
What?
Where should your kid, say you have a teenage, say your son's now in eighth grade.
Is the answer not an outlet?
No, and that's not where he's going to charge his phone at night. Obviously, it's charged to an electrical outlet. Oh, God. Fucking idiot. No, he's charging his phone. Where in your house should he be charging his phone?
Oh. Kitchen?
As opposed to, correct. That, okay, so you take these fucking guesses and get the shit right. Yes, the kitchen is the best place, versus where else does somebody charge their phone sometimes?
Bedroom?
Correct. And for a child, you don't want that, because most of these predators have full-time jobs, which means they're not on their phone predating until the nighttime. So if your kid has their phone post 7:30 at night, bam, that's like the hot zone.
So the answer was just not their bedroom. Not
their bedroom.
The kitchen.
Put it in the kitchen. Correct. Again, that's a quick, easy tip, which is something you forget. Like you think, oh, during the day, but you got to think the predators have jobs. So they actually, all bad things happen at night. So that was that. On a good note is,
interesting.
Oh my God, I don't have a photo. Oh wait, did I post this photo? This is a new product alert. Anybody who's going to, all dads, you're going to want this for Father's Day. And they're only $199. Bose, the speaker company,
yep,
is coming out, or has come out with, at Best Buy, two pairs of dark sunglasses, where the music, instead of the earbud going in your ear, you wear the sunglasses and it comes out the back of the, like where the back of the, like the sunglass stick is.
Yeah.
That's where the music comes out of. So you could wear
Wouldn't like anyone around you want to murder you?
No, because even when it's really loud, it's the music is going towards the center of your head. You can't really hear it.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I try to. And the good thing is you could walk up to me and have a conversation with me. I can still talk to you because I don't have earbuds in my ears. So I hear the music. And
okay, I understand you tried it, but like, was someone near you trying it? Because
yes,
that's
the guy. They had four or five pairs that were out there, and people put them on, and you could not.
All right.
Listen.
It wasn't like. All
right. No, they were cool. Maybe I'll buy you a pair for Father's Day.
I'm not gonna say no to that.
I mean, they were Bose.
Bose is great quality.
I literally couldn't. The other thing, they had a big LG 77-inch TV. Does anybody out there, anybody listening, just tweet me right now. If you play EA Sports Football, do you play football games on the?
No.
So it went.
I have a PlayStation 4. I have zero games on it.
So I don't know how much it was EA Madden. I think it was Madden. EA NFL.
EA owns it.
Yeah, so it had to be Madden. I would assume, right? Is that the big football game everybody plays? Is it Madden? Is that the game I'm asking you?
There's two games. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so it was EA games.
Yeah.
So this 77-inch TV was in the room. I go in. I was talking to somebody. I'm eating some candy, and I look to the right, and it's like Friday afternoon. And I'm like, "Why is there an NFL football game on?" I was like, "This is weird." And then I wasn't really paying attention.
You sure they weren't watching the XFL?
Well, then I said, my brain said, "It's probably the XFL." I mean, what? Now I'm not thinking. Although it was a Friday, and I'm normally at work, it felt like a Saturday because I was at this conference.
Yep.
Lo and behold, I go back an hour later. And I see two guys sitting on this couch playing a video game. There was not a football game on. They were playing the EA Sports football game, and it looked so real. I actually thought it was a real NFL, like Fox production of a football game. It was unbelievable. These graphics, I was like, I didn't know how much it was the TV, which was like a $5,000.
How much was like the game?
And how much was the game? I do think it's a combination.
Yeah.
Because a 77-inch brand new TV, I mean, has a great, that was a great, great image. But it was good. So Danny, that's my recap.
I loved it.
I'm yawning. I apologize for that late night yawn.
Hey, all good. It sounds like you had a hell of a time.
And while I was there, Danny, though, quickly, I saw a very remarkable birthday party over the weekend. I saw a birthday party that had matching t-shirts.
Ooh, nice.
Do you know whose birthday party that was?
No.
Can you think about somebody that you know that recently had a birthday party where all the kids there were wearing the same t-shirt or sweatshirt? And who didn't your son have a birthday party this weekend?
No. We went to go see Jurassic World live.
And there was a picture your wife posted and all the six kids had the same shirt on.
Oh, yeah, because whenever they go to, like, things, they all wear the same things.
Oh, I thought like, it wasn't a birthday party?
No, it was her friend's kids.
I thought, and everybody, it was very cute, though. I was like,
oh. And Cody refused to wear the sweater because he doesn't like hoods.
No, where the, oh. Brady wore it, though.
Yeah, Brady did.
It was cute. Did you like that show?
I thought it was horrible.
Okay.
It was awful. They basically tried to make it like a live-action movie. They had a romance, like, subplot.
Ugh.
It was awful. Like, I was expecting to see action dinosaurs jump the whole time. Nope.
Oh, Shane keeps saying, I want to go see dinosaurs.
No. And it was, I would say, 20% action and dinosaurs, 80% dialogue and romance.
Okay, awful. That's a big thumbs down. Mary Jane's thumbs down for Jurassic World.
Yeah, and I had high hopes. But what are you going to do?
That's one live show I'm going to be skipping.
Skip it.
Skip it and miss it. All right. Anything else, Danny, that you want to talk about this week?
No. Well, I think we're kind of running long.
Oh, are we?
I think we're at like 40 minutes.
We also talked for a while before we started.
No, I looked at it when we started recording.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, everybody. This is a really action-packed episode where we wanted to drop a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, I think we did.
We're going to get back to... I also met a lot of guys. We're going to be doing some more interviews coming up.
Nice.
I'll text you some people that have reached out.
They want us to make them famous. I get it. That's what we do.
We are going into spring, which means we have new adventures in our lives coming with our kids. More stories. What do people have to look forward to in this season on Dad So Hard, Danny, in the spring? What kind of things are we going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about the nice weather, going to the beach, going in the pool.
Learning how to ride a bike.
Bikes. We're going to try to introduce that this summer. We're going to try to potty train my youngest. What else?
Wiping butts. We're going to talk about wiping butts.
Oh, man.
By themselves, potentially.
Brady tries. God bless him. But...
Oh, I'm still doing it. Shane, he likes me to, he likes to bend over and a lot of buttholes in this house.
On that note,
listen, I always love seeing this guy.
Ditto.
Tune in next week. We'll be back, everybody. Peace.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Leave a review.